Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Tech Bites. As always, I am with my colleagues, Amin and Biagio. This is the first episode of the year. And again, like when we talked last, not a lot of things have happened in the world. We're perfectly fine. We're under the semester, week three. Hopefully, everyone's got good grades. Just paying attention to class. That's about it, right? Nothing else is going on. Okay, perfect. Great episode, everyone. You all have been
the books almost.
Yeah. Week three. Beginning of week three, yes.
All joking aside, though, I do think we have experienced a lot of different things that are happening. But I want to talk today about something that I think has fallen under the radar a little bit compared to some of the other things that have gathered the necessary attention it needs. But China's AI model, DeepSeek, being released to the public for free. And I say it like that because that is the point that is different than I think most of us have experienced is we might be utilizing ChatGPT. We might be thinking it's free. We might have that free model, but it's not exactly what DeepSeek is doing, what the Chinese version is. Can you guys give me just a general overview? What is the difference between, let's say, ChatGPT and DeepSeek from your knowledge, or what's the overarching change there?
All right, I'll take this one because it goes on a bigger spectrum, just even beyond AI. First of all, Happy Lunar Year.
Happy Lunar Year.
Yeah, today we're recording, so it's Happy Lunar Year today. So in general, like open source means that the code to build this model is made available and not extra charge. Or to be honest with you, if you start interacting with it through API and stuff like that, the cost of it is so much cheaper than any other model that has been released so far. To me, the funny things about it is that the biggest company right now is OpenAI, which the name suggests free, open to everybody, but then in reality,
topic too.
Yeah, in reality is not. Like I was saying, open source means kind of free of access, and that is true for not just AI, even software coding in R and Python is open source. SAS and other tools you have to pay a license to be utilized. So that's kind of like a big deal because not everybody has the resources to run this model. And we are talking about like pretty, contained costs for the regular users when we go for millions of tokens. But then for people that try to build companies or infrastructure or capabilities, these costs start to add up. So having a model as cheap or pretty practically free as DeepSeek is game changer. And it is also more democratizing AI. I don't know what is the right word for that, but definitely one. It's not under my radar in the people in my LinkedIn connection, but it's something that probably should be talked more.
I'd never heard of it until it released, right? Yeah, but I'm not surprised that something like this happened because if you look at this whole technology, it's entirely open already. Like all deep learning technologies, the only thing that is proprietary is the model structure. Like we don't know like how the layers and the settings of proprietary models like OpenAI's and ChatGPT are hooked up together. But that is even with DeepSeek, that is even open. But everything else, the technology, the algorithms that train it, the calculations that are inside the model, they are all public knowledge. These are coming from scientific papers that have been published throughout the decades, mostly which are funded by NSF grants. Our research are done inside universities by professors who contribute to this. Some of them break out and become like industry leaders. And that's very common moving from academia to industry in computer science, especially in deep learning.
Or doing both, right?
You can that's very common as well. However, so that's why, if you get a grant from the federal government for your research, one of the requirements is that you publish your results. And that publication means that all the technology is public. And all of them are implemented in really easy to use and very handy Python libraries, such as PyTorch and TensorFlow, and all of these that are fully public and open source as well, just like Python is. So it was, in my opinion, a matter of time that an open source model emerged that was mainstream. The one thing that shocked people is how little resources they used and how ineffective U.S. embargo on the hardware technology was. Despite that, they have a working model that is open source and is available to everyone.
I think, as you said, you are not too surprised, but we also have to say that it's not the first open source model out
Even Meta qualified it by mainstream.
Yeah. Right. I think Llama from Meta is also mainstream, but it doesn't have the performance of this one. And it's also not as efficient as this one. I think the key when you mention about the embargo is that I think this time China really had to innovate compared to imitate because of the resource constraints. They had to make it work on much less resources compared to the US. So I think the embargo backfired in this case, and the effects of this is huge. Like people that invest in tech companies and Nvidia and all these cheap manufacturer. Now we see like a shock in the market because people are start saying, okay, all this dominance and that you have might not be needed. There might be a different way to achieve the same.
It's not like if you don't get Nvidia, you can't compete with OpenAI. Right.
They got some Nvidia. It still runs on Nvidia, but it's much.
But mostly there's a lot of smaller, cheaper hardware that they used.
Yeah.
And I mean, the core of this, the entire thing is matrix multiplications. If you employ enough multiplying processors, then you'll get it done, right? That's just the number of processor cores that can multiply and add. That's it. And that's not a complicated calculation for a chip. So it's just the numbers, not how powerful they are. And it makes sense. It makes total sense. Was I able to predict it? No.
Right.
But it makes sense now that it's happened.
I think also the one thing that nobody was expecting was that the big advantage that is OpenAI, Meta, Google, all these that are releasing these LLM models, they have so much money behind it.
Yeah.
While this one is like, I mean, for my understanding, it's almost like
much smaller.
A student that is very talented. They start to hiring other very talented students, and from that they get to DeepSeek. Which is impressive, and it's also like to me it's kind of like showing to the student that if they have the right idea at the right time, now there are more opportunities to make big things happen. Because who was expecting, right? They just announced $500 billion in infrastructure on making AI the America the powerhouse in AI, and then in a few days they have to confront reality and see, hey, maybe there is another way. We don't need to use those $500 billion and we can still compete, right? Because the crazy part is the performance of these products and how good they are and how much they can compete with OpenAI. They've been around for more time.
So here's where, from a layperson's perspective, are AI models and these tools out here, are they showing differences in capability? So if I'm someone who's like, hey, write me this email to my local board that I don't feel like writing, to me, ChatGPT does great. Like it does it, boom, hits enter, I get it, it's there. Is there ways... are the models making that better, or am I using them for too dumb of tasks that it doesn't really show a difference at that level, but then at higher, more complex processing, it's doing that?
I think the free tier of ChatGPT is that's the intended.
It's just a, hey, toss it in. Yeah. I have a
help
quick
me
question.
Write something. Yeah. Help me write something that is not that high stake.
Mm-hmm.
I think why the DeepSeek is significant is because it needed much less resources than people thought. And that has implications.
To create, yeah. Is that what you're, yeah. Yeah. And to operate as well, right? Is it more efficient on the power side?
I don't know.
That I don't know. I'm interested to see.
I don't know. The model might be as large. They just didn't, for training, they didn't spend much time or hardware on it. So it took less effort to train, which is one of the biggest problems with deep learning is the effort to train. But what that implies is, so the reason the AI companies were receiving a lot of great treatment from investors in Wall Street was because they said this work is hard, it's exclusive, not everyone can do it. Look how hard it is to, and you need this specialized hardware. Mm-hmm. And what's demonstrated is the barrier to entry is not that high anymore. So there will be, it's not like we have three companies that can do it and we need to stick with them. Now it's revealed that it's easier than we thought to do it. And just to give an idea to our audience, what this revealed is the search space is smaller than we thought. And the search space is, think of training the model is, we enter a space which is entirely dark, mm-hmm. and somewhere in this space, there's a good model. And we have no way of knowing is that the best model or there's a better model. We just know where to find good models. And these algorithms guide us where to look in this dark space.
Go more to the left, go more to the right.
Exactly.
But not a final destination.
Yeah.
Not determined.
And there's no way. And if we find a good model, that's just our subjective valuation. This is a good model. We don't know if there's a better one near it or even further away in the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. So that's why the resources were intensive. They said we need the most powerful hardware to look in more places, mm-hmm. to find better models. And it seems like the search space is not, it's a little, I mean, we know exactly, we can calculate the size of the search space, but it's more navigable than we thought. The training algorithms are pretty good in finding good models quicker. Or quickly, that we don't need that much trial and error because the training of neural networks is a lot of trial and error. Mm-hmm. So what these people in DeepSeek did, they set the parameters. Maybe they got lucky, which is very unlikely if they got lucky. It's incredibly unlikely because how many possibilities there are. So they set the settings by learning something maybe from other model settings. And those settings matched very well with the training algorithm that everyone uses, and it found a good model for them with much, much less work. So that's what's been revealed. Your settings could be good enough for a much faster result.
It, like, just to give a kind of sense of perspective how much cheaper it is, mm-hmm. it's like to develop it is mm-hmm. $6 million versus 100 millions for GPT-4 in 2023. So,
wow. Yeah,
the difference is pretty impressive. I think the other
aspect, 1/20th almost.
Yeah,
wow.
And I think the other aspect that we kind of touched upon, but I think is critical, is also that a lot of people thought that when you're trying to do something in the AI space, you need established, well-known researchers like the big renown.
Yes.
And then again, this guy,
you just need engineers.
Yeah. He recruited the top talent inside Chinese university,
yeah.
and is like, that's how.
But they were not researchers. They were not computer scientists.
They're students. Top,
yes.
Top. That's yeah. what I'm saying. Like, there is now an opportunity as never before, right?
Yeah.
To achieve something as competing with OpenAI, which everybody thought was like the standard.
Yeah.
And also going back to your point about depending on the task, how the model performs, right? I think the popularity comes on the reasoning model. So the R1,
mm-hmm.
which I think those models, and Amin knows more than me when it comes to the technical aspect of it. It's definitely more difficult to achieve those results compared to a simple chatbot that doesn't have reasoning behind.
Yeah.
But I think we should have a different episode about this, about also talking about agentic AI, talking about chain of thoughts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, there probably is an episode.
Yeah, those need computer scientists. Those need serious researchers. But to create an LLM, it seems like you just need someone who knows how to code and how to feed the data.
Do you think at some point we're going to get to a place where there's software that will help you train a model? Like,
yeah,
kind of the step before that of like, okay, you don't know how to code. Double click.
I think
on
we
this.
Have those now.
Yeah.
They're just like not, they're more restrictive than coding. And coding is easy enough.
Got it.
That people who get engaged.
Easier.
Yeah. People who engage in developing models, it's easy enough to code that these libraries have done such a good job. Then people don't want the restrictions of a graphical user interface. You know what I mean?
Are we, so as we're learning as society that these models are easier to train, easier to create, as they're becoming more pervasive around the world, is that a good thing? It goes back to a research question. Is it better to have more people researching something in multiple different ways, or having one source that everyone utilizes to research a bunch of different things? Basically, are we limiting it because we're not all using ChatGPT to see what the max can be done? Or is it better because now everyone's trying it, even though it may be based on the things like DeepSeek or their own model that they've created? I get concerned with those things, because then any bit of ethics within it, and I'm not saying a company currently has or doesn't have ethics within it, but as you have more people doing it,
none of them does.
Right. But if you have more and more people, then you get more and more extremes again on all sides, that now someone, where at least ChatGPT might not give you the recipe of how to create or participate in criminal activity, they've put guardrails on those ones. But when I learn how to create one on my own and do that, are we then opening up to that? And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Those are questions that I don't know.
It's open. Anyone can train it on any data. People can train it on things that are absolutely heinous and illegal.
Right.
And there is, I saw news, I don't even want to talk about it, but I saw news about like videos
being
generated.
Terrible things, and you can do that.
Yeah, that comes with the availability of technology. Technology is known for everyone. Anyone who can read English papers can know what these models do. There's one specific paper, and it's public. It's called Attention is All You Need, 2017. That is the building block of these models. And if you can read it, and it's not that difficult to read, like it's not that technical, because the building of the model doesn't need that much technical knowledge. You just need to know what that paper says about one block, one building block. And the training is automatic. You don't need to know how it's trained necessarily. So, yes.
But when I think about these things, I think that in general, right, there are pros and cons of pretty much everything, right, in life. It doesn't mean that with ChatGPT only in the market, those malicious things were not being created, right? We have Colleen and Coltai on the episode talking about how deepfake was being exploited on regular people images. We had Ferre Ciriello talking about AI companions, right? This is not just because this model is open source that there is potential for it, but there is more people that are going to be able to participate in the creation of things at a cheaper cost, right? Much cheaper cost. And so there are good things, because I don't like everything to be controlled by one company or two companies, or you know what I'm saying, because then it's pretty much trusting the future in some Altman and Co, which again, from the ethic perspective, I don't know if those are the right people I will trust. But in general, when it goes to like just delivering things to just with the objective of profit, rather than delivering things with the objective of better the humanity. That's the risk. And I'm not saying ChatGPT is the only one doing it. Pretty much everybody's
right.
doing it.
Yeah, right. It's
so,
all money.
So that's what I'm trying to emphasize. A lot of people say, hey, but this is Chinese, this is open source, and this is the problem. Well, some of the things that they're talking about, like privacy concern and trust and things, that can be real things, right? So who is, what access they have to the data, all those things. So I'm not saying, but this is in general, mm-hmm. right? I tell my students, don't use ChatGPT by throwing in all your personal data, because mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like the concerns are there in any way. It's just a matter of now the fact that more people participate, which can be a good thing because it will probably force ChatGPT and the others player to lower the cost as well.
Right.
Because again, it's difficult to compete with something that is so much cheaper than what you offer and with the same performance, unless probably what is next coming is going to be a plan or whatever it is to fight it. But I don't think you're still going to win because the world is not just the US and there's going to be other people in other parts of the world that are not going to have the ban. So I don't think that's the right battle that you want to do.
It feels, when you bring that up, Yajio, and I am happily able to say that I wasn't alive during the coldest part of the Cold War. But it kind of starts to feel like that with AI, there's the American AI and then there's the other AI, whether it's from a member of...
Instead of space race, it's like the chip race.
That's exactly it. And that was my next question, is being like, what are we building towards here in AI? And this is a question that I think more and more people are asking, because I hear two different things. I hear absolutely everything is capable and we're all not going to have jobs and we're living on the Wall-E spaceship, or it's all lies and everything. It doesn't do anything. It's hallucinating more often than not. Is there a moon that we're heading towards in it and we just need to have time? Like, what's the end result within this? And I don't think there's a specific answer, but I'm just...
I mean, the end result is the general intelligence, right? Some...
from a computer.
AGI,
okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's what they're trying to achieve. But I don't know what is going to be the end result for
but
humanity. You know,
these are... I don't know. But also, I have technological questions about, like, a general approach. So if you think about what these new AI models have done, mm-hmm. they're language. They're about language. Mm-hmm. Like, language is not entire brain. The language is something that represents what's going on in the brain, and it's very, very, very limited. Our brain is way more than language.
Right.
And general intelligence is, I've seen... so many descriptions of it, what that means, and we still don't know what that means. And like the best description, like the gold standard of intelligence that we've had for this whole time was the Turing test, which says if you don't know if you're interacting with a human or a machine, it's intelligent. But that's still language, right? That's still language. I'm not qualified to talk about what intelligence is, or like what is beyond producing a human-like interaction could look like, or what is there after that.
Well, and also what interaction it is.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at you right now in the room, I have far more information to discern whether or not you're human or presenting a human interaction than a AOL chat room from 1993, you know, that I ask a question and you say your favorite color is green. I'm like, oh, that's a human, right? But like, those are the things that I'm saying. Like, the Turing test even has different scales of intensity based on what you're looking
at. It's incredibly subjective. And like, what we can see from intelligence is it's actions. All we can see is actions. And we have been trying to model these actions. That's all. And we are feeding them actions, and like, we are expecting intelligent action samples, and we are expecting to see them to act intelligently too. And what actions will they do? If they are trained on, for example, let's say we train one on international foreign policy, mm-hmm. and like what type of strategic weapons should we have and things like that. These are decisions that humans make, and these are one of the most high stake decisions humans make. So is that where it's going? I don't know. I don't know where the destination is, but I think one thing we can absolutely rely on all the time, people are going to chase where the money takes them. They're going to chase the money because that's our system. Our system is capitalist all over, even China. So this is all people are looking to make money, and that's where we will go.
Well, and even making it open source is a strategic decision to potentially undercut the money being made in other areas.
Yeah, they lost the race for the monetized version, and they pulled the rug from under them by coming out with open source. That's what you do. That's how it's always been.
So even the quote-unquote humanitarian elements of it could still be looked at like, oh, well, you're just upset that you didn't.
As I get older, it's terrible news. Everything is about money. There's absolutely no one who is doing it for the good of their heart except me.
Well, and that's
I think that's a good point. I think it's a fair point. I'm not like him in the sense that I hope there are more people on top of Amin doing it not for the money. I think there is a more fundamental question here that is not as loud as what this tool can do. I think a lot of people are focusing on how amazing, like I'm a tech guy. I love technology. I use them. I think about innovating with them. I have all these things. It's just awesome. I feel like I'm on steroid without being on steroid every single day of my life. I can do way more thing than before. But there is one aspect that I think very few researchers that I know, and we will have them more on the show because we want to hear from the expert, not from the regular person in a bar talking about AI and how responsible AI should be or how ethical AI should be, right? Mm-hmm. The fundamental question is, what is the impact of society and humanity as a whole, right? It's not just about how job it will create or reduce. It's just like who you're going to interact with. Is an old person like my grandmother going to be able to tell if the call is from me or from somebody who's trying to scam her? Probably not. Right. It's going to be that good.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
And that could probably happen today.
Like what is going to be done? Like
it's a matter of time.
Like a lot of people are making fun of Europe, right? Mm-hmm. Europe is the place where regulations happen.
Yep, more the than private. Yep.
I don't make fun of regulations.
I know, but I've seen a lot of like GIF or stuff like that. There is this fight between China, DeepSeek, and OpenAI, and then there is Europe inventing this new cup. It goes on top of the open bottle thing. I don't know if you guys have ever seen.
No.
There is this little thing that you cannot throw the cap of the bottle away.
Basically. Oh.
It's going to stay attached.
Okay.
But people are making fun of it and say, okay, that's the innovation for Europe. I was frustrated when I see it, but then when I realized that it's because people are not understanding that if you keep throwing cap of plastic all over the environment, eventually we're not going to have an environment. We're not going to have a place to live in. It's just necessary for that level. It's just like crazy. So when AI comes into play, what people can do with AI, where is us as a society going to be? I'm not sure. As a parent, knowing, as you said, that the motive behind many of these companies is money, is terrifying. It's really scary.
There's no escaping that. Money is always going to be the only utilitarian goal we pursue.
All those wrong things. Like in my time when I was growing up, the thing was going out and have a ball and toss it with friends.
Yeah.
So the danger was somebody approaching you and doing something to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now the danger is accessible 24/7, pretty much everywhere you are.
Right.
And if the object is money, and we know there are bad people in this world, in any continent or place, then what is going to be the next step for humanity? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
it's really that bad.
Here's the comparison.
That's powerful. That's powerful. It can disrupt not just the economy. It can disrupt our everyday life.
To summarize what you said, with every new technology, there are risks, right? So we have cars can run people over. We give people driver's licenses. How do we know they're not going to run someone over?
Automated, like auto driving?
No, no, I'm talking about like, no, I'm talking about basic
just car.
Yeah, this is a technology, right? So, but this one scaled. Like this one also same. People use it for terrible things. And what is this scale? This scale is like unimaginably larger than like how many people can someone run over in a day with a car? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll stop you probably at 4 or 5.
And people do. But if someone tries to create, child porn using AI, it's going to be so late, even if we stop them right away.
But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do anything about it.
We should do everything about it.
I think to be honest with you, like I get this comparison. A lot of people telling me, okay, this is
No, I'm saying that comparison is misleading. This scale is not comparable. I'm on your side.
Right. Okay. Because like they say, okay, the calculator, they say the same thing about the calculator. And you know what I'm saying? Like, but this can do more.
Yeah, exactly. Way more. This scale is significantly larger, meaningfully larger.
Yeah. The breadth and the depth of what it can do is just transforming the entire society. So what can we do is, I don't know. And so what people are doing, we need to bring the expert. But from what I'm understanding, regulation-wise, maybe just Europe is doing something. But very little still, right? Because
is it then something? So I'm envisioning something like a license for maybe different grades of AI. So like as people like yourselves with significant background and potentially needing these tools to do your research, to do probably some higher level interactions, you have a class A license to use artificial intelligence. If you work for the Pentagon, you have a, you know, top secret clearance to use AI. And then like me, like, okay, hey, yeah, you can have the teen version of that one too.
But
like
that's not enforceable. Enforceable. But like you can develop one on your laptop. If you let it run for 10 years, it would be as powerful as if it ran on a 10 time, you know.
I think I'm on Russ's side on this. If you think about it, you can do it. But can the average person do it?
No. But there's 8 billion people or 9 already.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably closer to 9.
Yeah, there's someone there will be. Like there are people who do that. You can find someone to do anything.
I think if you think about it though, they are already kind of doing that.
Yeah.
Right? They have the enterprise version, like for ChatGPT, and they have the enterprise version, which is $200 a month.
They're
who's gonna buy that? Right? It's gonna be a company, and who is gonna be the buy the $20 is an individual that can afford it. True. And there's going to be somebody that can't afford it that has the free tire, which is the wrong way of doing it because it's based on how much money you have, not how much you're capable of, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's where they're going to add to, but I think one other scary aspect of this is that you're going to be able very soon to talk with these things. So I think the one potential drawbacks of this will be they're going to tell you that you don't need to educate yourself. You don't need to learn how to code. You don't need to learn how to read because they can read for you. So basically, they're going to transform you into a sheep.
Hmm.
I'm not offending sheep, right?
But I said
because I can do everything for you, but then you are losing everything that comes with learning, that comes with educating, which is not just the knowledge per se that ChatGPT has more than me, but it's just how the way I think about things, the way I approach. So critical thinking, problem solving, all those things that I think are still human strength, I think they're going to try to take away from us because they want us.
This is very.
It can be seen as somebody. Oh, you are like just thinking of the worst or anything that comes.
Welcome to our podcast.
But that's a scary component of it, and that's why, like, when somebody say, "Oh, why are you still teaching coding?" Because it's not just about them write the code.
Terrible question.
It's also about thinking about how even the computer is. How you make the computer doing something?
Yeah.
Right. Right,
which I think is an important skill because the computer are always with us.
You know,
you need to understand.
I've never thought about it that way, but I'm less worried about that.
Teaching something to me.
Less worried about that than like a malicious use scenario.
No,
because critical thinking, creation, like creativity is an instinct.
Yeah.
I think people will still pursue them. I think people, other people will try to make you rely as much as possible on their product in this AI, which has more reach. But I think people will still won't lose that creativity because people, we desire it. We like to make things. We like to crack jokes, which are all creations.
No, you know what I mean? I think I kind of went strong on the negative side. I think what I'm trying to say is that in the long run, right, when the direction is cutting on stuff and cutting on stuff which can be healthcare systems, and I've seen that in Italy. I can see how much they cut healthcare in the past 30 years. And I can see how that was my grandmother 30 years ago in the hospital. How is now is terrible because of those cuts. There's less people. If you don't invest into something, you are getting something bad out of it in the long run.
Yeah.
Same thing can happen with education. We have seen it already. So that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of like, it's kind of more of a warning call rather than only focusing on the negative side. I'm telling you, I love AI. I use it every day. I feel like I'm super powered, but I still want my student to learn how to code.
Yeah.
Because while you can code better than them right now, if they understand how it works, then they can do with it more, right?
Yeah.
Than what they could have done before. So that's my only point.
The benefit we could get from this is someone who would have never coded could code using
and build something super powerful.
And without it, they wouldn't have.
Right.
So that's the benefit. But the loss we could get from this is someone who would have been a better coder is now a less capable coder because of it.
Because they just use
it. And they also say this. They say, like, you're not going to be replaced by AI as a coder, but you're going to be replaced by a coder that uses AI. If it makes sense, right? So so because you're going on steroids, I'm the same guy, right? I'm not coding less well. Or I still need to still have the understanding, though, to deliver faster. But if somebody's as good as me and is coding faster, or somebody's just a little bit worse than me but is using AI in the right way, then it's going to be faster.
Should we expect power outages now?
Yeah, you know, that's another...
that's the crazy part.
We need uranium.
Nothing bad's come out of uranium. I didn't say we just need to create more of that one. Is the Iranian talking about uranium is always a great
bad choice.
I am very interested to see what all of this turns into, and then, like, I mean, you mentioned how we actually function within the power, within the environmental standards, because like you're saying, everything's language, but what happens when we try and mix those together that now it is getting closer to passing an active Turing test that we're like, oh, okay, like, how do we function then?
Good news is most of these people who are, you know, pushing AI ahead in these big companies in around the world, especially in US, they are educated people. Educated people tend to not argue with climate change. So the focus is very exclusively on nuclear power plants. And they're I don't know if you followed the news, but there are like at several, I think five plants that like Microsoft, Google, Facebook, these are working actively to restart retired nuclear power plants all over the US, which there's plenty.
That should be a different topic.
We are not experts in that.
Nuclear plant is Europe. We are fun of it. You know, after Chernobyl and all the people that have cancer.
The reality is, we are not an expert.
That's why I say we should bring some people.
Yeah, we should bring some.
Even just
they are safer than coal and gas plants now. Just like flying is safer than driving in that statistic.
Because people are text while driving.
Exactly. It is safer to fly. Yeah, you are more likely to get in an accident and killed if you drive somewhere than fly.
I think I promise our listeners that we're going to bring...
This would be the first guest I bring. I should look for someone that knows about nuclear power plants.
Yeah, like, also, I'm very
AI, powering AI.
Because I read a couple of thoughts about, you know, how much even just creating an image costs.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think nobody's thinking about it because it's so simple, right? Yeah. Just create a picture of Russ with the... I don't know, arsenal shirt instead of Linux shirt, right? Like something like that, right? So a Newcastle shirt.
As long as Liverpool's still number one, we're fine.
Right.
No, with an Arsenal shirt.
So it's fun.
Trying to kill a puppy who's wearing a Liverpool shirt. That would
generate images very quickly. We're like, wait, we can make it back. And now there's no rain.
And it's fun. and it's easy to do it. And you have like, but then behind it, there is a cost. So should we do it just for fun?
Right.
That's
the
key question. And I think nobody thinks about the consequences because it's fun. And so let's just do it. So we need to bring somebody that kind of understand the cost of that. And they can also talk about more about energy, green energy, which I'm not sure.
Yeah, since I don't use social media, I need a travel budget to find a person.
And I'm thinking that. I use LinkedIn, the only social media I use.
Before we go, I have a confession.
Yeah.
While in Mexico, I purchased a counterfeit Arsenal jersey.
Oh, wow.
It
great. Looked
perfect.
Yeah, it looked perfect. It probably looks like the way Arsenal plays. So, you know,
wow.
Good on the outside.
No comment.
Sorry.
No comment.
Amin is leaving the room.
They shouldn't have sent off our player.
Amin is leaving the room. Sorry.
You all keep dropping points.
There's nothing wrong with scoring from crosses and corners. Nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong with
that. I know this legacy of Thierry Henry, but... And we will score from corners. Yeah.
Well,
is
gentlemen, this is awesome. Thank you so much. Go Liverpool. Reds are going to win it.
And thank you for listening to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by Northern Illinois University, where your future is our focus. And please, remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.